Greetings to you in that Savior that we just sang about. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Luke 2. I'm going to start reading verse 22, and I'll read through verse 35. Partially, this story is because I tend to forget about Christmas pretty quick, and this story follows up here with the birth of Christ. This is 40 days after the birth of Christ, and I'll start reading in 22, and it starts in Luke 2, verse 22. It says, "And when the days of her, Mary, purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto them, Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So here we have this young family coming to the temple. And if you do any kind of research, you will find that the two turtle doves were sort of the least of a sacrifice that you could bring. But it was adequate. Poor people brought doves. And here is Simeon, led by the Spirit, a faithful man who has lived his life in a way that displayed his unwavering belief that the consolation of Israel would someday be realized, and he would hold that. So here they come, and he is there, led by the Spirit. Simeon's long-awaited promise is now realized, and he holds the Christ. And I'm sure he is well aware of the Old Testament and the verses that alluded to this coming Savior, which is first mentioned in Genesis. But picture the scene, and this is a scene that's just stuck in my mind, of Simeon holding out the Christ child and looking at him. So you have one person who probably is nearing the end of his life. We don't know how long Simeon lived after this, but who in faith lived and intentionally lived out his life in obedience to God's known word at that time. And in his hands, he's holding Jesus. And I'm sure his mind goes back to Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I'm sure it goes back to Zechariah 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And then I'm sure that he realized what Zechariah 11 says, that there would be a man betrayed for a mere 30 pieces of silver. I'm sure his mind went to Isaiah 53. The highlights of that chapter, he is despised and rejected of men. He was wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Later on in the Isaiah 53, it says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. At the end of verse 12, it says, and he makes intercession for the transgressors. There he was holding this person, this child. Simeon said this about Jesus in verse 32. He says, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Now, I am grateful that those words are still true today, that Jesus lightened is the light and enlightens Gentiles. This light has always and will always illuminate hearts and souls if they're willing to hear and to listen. So today, and I'm sure Simeon was aware of sort of the calamities, the time in history. It wasn't necessarily the most peaceful time in history, but I think he was aware and felt like he was living in a disoriented society. And for him to hold that baby Jesus, there was something, I would guess, was something soothing and something relieving that this was going to be a person who would bring relief to the sins of man. Well, that was Christ's first time to come to this earth. And as Christians today, we hang on to that promise that he's going to come again, whether it's when we're alive or whether it's the next generation is alive. We don't know when he's coming. But it does, that promise that he's coming back to this earth does sustain us. It should sustain us. And I'm reminded of myself. And why this story is so precious to me is because there's two things that are very powerful to me in my belief as a Christian. One is the prophecies of old. And the other thing that is very encouraging to me, and it looks so different when I'm up here versus sitting in the bench, but when I look out across, I see a lot of people, I see all of you, I believe, that are truly striving to serve Christ in the best way that you can. I do not sit up here and think, oh, I'm just sitting with a bunch of hypocrites. I see people that sincerely want to know what Christ wants for their life, who are overtly intentional of living out your lives. And that is super encouraging for me. But I'm also aware that there's small decisions that I've observed people make in their life. Small decisions that at the time that they made them looked rather innocent. But as that decision grew and the fruits bore out of those decisions, then my observation is that those were decisions that weren't correct. And that with that can come a spiritual demise. So my journey and your journey, we don't live this thing by ourselves. My life's journey is traveled, and it is experienced not by oneself, but with you as fellow Christians. It's the faithfulness of the past people who aren't alive anymore. It's the faithfulness of those past. It's the faithfulness of Simeon. It's the faithfulness of the patriarchs who believed in God that encourages me to live for Christ, regardless of the headwinds that we as Christians face. And I want us just to simply remind ourselves this morning that Don't underestimate the value of your faithfulness to Christ and the encouragement that it brings to others. So, like Simeon, let us treasure a godly life. Let us, like Simeon, see the beauty of unwavering faith. I like to sing Psalm 265.
Christ's everlasting gospel is ringing out again. His message of salvation is peace, goodwill to men. Though sin has hurled its weapons and evil hosts assail, the gospel of Christ Jesus has evermore prevailed. Our King shall come in glory, his conquering cross we hail. The power of his salvation shall never, never fail. Sometimes the sky is dark and stormy clouds appear, but still beyond the shadows, the light is bright and clear. The God of truth has spoken, his word will never fail. The gospel of Christ Jesus shall more and more prevail. Our King shall come in
Lord, thank you for being in our midst this morning, and thank you for the faithfulness that we can read about in your word, and thank you, dear Lord, for the promises, and help us, dear Lord, to be a people that passes on this great news of salvation on and on. Help us to be a part of that sharing up to the world. Help us to live our lives in ways that truly reflect our belief to a society that is searching. Help us to be faithful in small things and great things. Thank you for being our Savior, and we anticipate your return, dear Lord. Be in our midst today as we continue to focus upon you, what you've done for us. Let this time of gathering be a time of encouragement. I pray for all the Sunday school teachers and the discussions around your word. May it profit us well. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.